Grow My Cleaning Company teaches owners of cleaning companies just like you how to grow your company, make more money, and finally take charge of your financial future and your life. This podcast is about automating and creating systems that give you time and money freedom so you can grow like crazy without losing control. Since this is totally free, if you're getting tons of value, want to support us and make sure that you get more of the good stuff, subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast today. Now, on to the show. Hey, Cleaning Nation, Mike Campion, Grow My Cleaning Company with my new BFF, Karen, who spells her name funny for some sort of reason, messing her. She was one of the many attendees at our live event, which was awesome, by the way. If you guys didn't come to the event, you should come to the next one. I think it's going to be January. Anyway, we had a raffle, and one of the winners got the dubious honor of getting to be on the show, and Karen is that lady. So, Karen, why don't you say hello to Cleaning Nation, introduce yourself, tell us a bunch of lies about how great you are. What's shaking over there?
My name is Karin, and we're running a Cleanest Cleaning, and our story actually starts pretty cool because my mother started her the cleaning business in year 2006, and she came to the United States with no English and with nothing. So, and then she was very, you know, go get her, and she started to put flyers out, and now we have built, and I came 2009, so we started to run it together and build it together, and now we, last year, income was $269,000.
That's fantastic. Congrats, sister. And you're residential, I take it?
Or residential only, yes.
Yeah. All right. First of all, we got to get with what this lovely accent. Where'd that come from?
It's Estonian. Estonia. It's a north of Europe.
Beautiful.
Old Soviet Union. So we lived under socialism until 1991. Estonia got independence, and then all the borders all of a sudden was open, and people started to travel and see the world. And she wanted to learn English. That's how we got started.
Well, your English, I'm guessing, actually, I'm pretty confident, is much better than my Estonian. I don't know if that's what they speak there, but I'm just assuming. I don't even know what they speak, but your English is excellent. So we'll talk cleaning, but I rarely have the opportunity to talk to someone who lived under a socialist government. What was it like? Better, worse? Compare and contrast socialism versus what you found so far in America.
Well, terrible. It's very, very terrible. I saw only the end of it, so. I can't even remember that the stores were empty and you only have certain things and you only can get certain things. Like everything was, you know, government controlled. So everything was, had to be legal. We didn't even own a house. And if you started to make money with selling socks, you can go to prison. That was the end. Like, it was brutal. It was, yeah. And the Estonian flag was hidden because, you know, we couldn't had it outside. It was not. So the freedom, first time I tasted banana, I was like 9 years old when more goods started to come into Estonia.
All right. So I do my best to not be political on this show because that's what we're here for. But we've got, I don't know if any of you noticed, we're October 27th as we're recording this. It'll probably release a little later. There, you may or may not know there's an election coming up. But for all of you that think socialism would be great, this is uneducated. If you would like to do things like buy bananas or be able to sell socks for money without going to jail, apparently.
Or make money with business.
Yeah.
Or make money with your business.
So again, I don't want to get political, but that was just, it's just interesting. I had no thoughts she and I hadn't discussed before of just what was like. It's so funny. The people living in communism vote for socialism, but they've never met anyone that lived under a socialist regime that liked it. So it's like, right. You think we'd sort this thing out. Anyway. All right. All that said, let's talk owners of cleaning company. So let's do this. The two things I wanted to get in the time that we've got. One, you came to our event, which was awesome. Would love for those of that did come, I would love to get your perspective on the biggest one or two takeaways. And those that missed, I'd love to get the biggest takeaways. And then also pick a question I can give you some coaching on. So as the winner of the thing, I want to give you some free coaches. So let's start with biggest takeaway, one, two, or three biggest takeaways from the event that you can share with Cleaning Nation that may have missed it.
Well, I got so much information out of it. So it's like after the After the event, I literally had to sit down and put together my own plan and actually start knocking things out quickly. Like every little thing, I feel like I would like to go and do again the same course and go again back. And because every time, like, keep on listening and listening and listening, like, you may be not catching up one thing, but then you're catching up some things. And then the next time you're catching up something, like, everybody are in a different places. So every time is like everything you listen, you just got to keep on listening all the time. We got to keep on listening you.
Awesome. So if there's one thing for those that missed, give the one like big takeaway so they can be like, oh, what one thing did you decide that you were going to change about your life or your business going forward?
Well, the automation to make it more, get your hands off more. I think I'm like kind of halfway there, but I'm still struggling with some of the things that, like, everything, like, our time is limited. Everybody has the 24 hours, and some people successfully can use the, you know, the time, and some just working all the time. So we have to, yeah. You talked a lot about it, there were so many things.
Well, and it's interesting because it's natural in business to focus on money, right? Because we're for-profit businesses. Again, we're in a capitalist country where I can sell something for more than I paid, ideally, whether it's a service or product, and use that profit to invest in my family, other people, give to charity, do whatever I want. So money's great, nothing wrong with that, but we forget about the time, right? Especially I'm 46 as we're recording this. And I remember when I was younger, I'm like, oh, I would trade time for money all day long, right? That's what we do. We have a job. Like, if I could be older and rich, it'd be great. Now that I'm a little older and a little richer, I'm like, I think I would trade, I'd give money to get time back. Right.
So absolutely.
One of those, just so you guys know, is a non-renewable resource. And one of those is completely renewable. So even this conversation, right? I appreciate all of you guys joining us, but, you know, say 20 minutes afterwards, that 20 minutes is never, we will all have the same thing in common, and that we are 20 minutes poorer than we were before. Money, especially when we have a business with systems and processes, can come in. So you can, you know, we oftentimes will have an enrollment, or I'll get some sort of thing in my email. Hey, we made money. Well, you know, I was on a call. Great. The money can come in, that goes up and down, but the time is always gone forever. So I love that pulling away of, hey, money's great. We want to make money. But if we could choose between time or money, we can always get more money, but we never get more time, right? Like, when I forget the comedian said, like, oh, here's a picture of me when I was younger. And he's like, every picture is a picture of you when you were younger, right? No matter what, that's just how this thing works. All right. Cecilia says, love capitalism. Yeah, I don't know anyone that's owns a business that doesn't love capitalism. That's a big part of it. All right. So that said, now that you got me, we're here. What question? This is completely unrehearsed. I have no idea what she's going to ask. What one thing can I coach you on, serve you? How can I help make your business better, young lady? Or more importantly, your life better. Let's start there.
Okay. All list of questions. So the workers, you were talking about last time, there lots of it about the workers, like, we have to, like, attract the workers, which I really like. Like, same time, like, we're attracting the customers, we have to attract the workers to want them to work with us, and like a kind of like a part time is better than full time. And then my question was like, and then we were supposed to, like, attract them with the memberships to gyms and stuff like that. And what, like, how much do they have, like, a limit? How much they have to work to get the free gym membership? Or if they are part-time, they may be once in every blue moon working, do they still get the benefits? Like, what's the solution to give them benefits?
Yeah, so just to catch everybody up, what Karen's talking about is, we talk a lot about, I want to lay a little foundation. So because you and I are in the middle of a conversation that we started at the live event, I want to make sure everyone else kind of catches up. So the big thing I want all of you guys and gals of Cleaning Nation to know is, we don't bribe people, right? So when I was younger in business, that was my thought. I was like, bigger companies can spend more money and I can't afford good employees, which really wasn't the truth. The truth was, I didn't have a good business model where I understood what I could pay people, and I wasn't making enough money from them. And two, I thought that people basically just went wherever they get the most money. Currently, I don't know, we got 10 or 15 people on the team now. I'm guessing most, if not all of them, could probably make more money somewhere else. But the reason they stay is because they really care about you guys, right? We're on a mission. We are all about having fun, making money, being real, helping out. And that's what's important to them. So it's really encouraging. What I want to tell you guys and gals is we want to attract people with our core values. For us, one of our core values is, again, help out, have fun, make money. So we want to make sure that our compensation mirrors that, right? So if we were all about having fun and making money and helping out, and we try to pay our people slave wages, that would be completely out of line with our core values, right? They'd be like, hey, I thought we're about making money. Is that just for you? Or what about us? What about your customers, right? So we really want everyone to make money, and we want to help out, not just our customers, but our employees. So the foundation is we always attract the best caliber talent based on our core values and kind of the shared mission, first and foremost. That said, once we've got that down, I was trying to share with the group, or I was sharing with the group, and this is all in the Clean Profit Method, the specific ways we can make our people feel loved with high perceived value and high actual value benefits, but low cost, right? A lot of us are familiar with healthcare plans, right? High perceived value for sure, but really, really high cost, not just in money, but the administrative and the whatever. So what Karen's asking about is I've given quite a few examples of ways that we can make our people feel special and part of a team and really glad to be in our universe that weren't specifically money. So I just want to be clear for you, Karen, and all Clean Nation, this isn't what gets them or keeps them. It's what keeps them engaged and happy. Okay. So if we found someone that's like, oh, I'm only here for the benefits, it's the wrong guy or the wrong gal. So it's never that, but it is to make them feel loved. Cause again, I can only tell Lindsay and Jared and all of our team how much I appreciate them and how valuable they are to you guys and how they're changing your lives. But if I treated them like crap and never gave me any benefits and just said, work, 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 I want the most work for the least money, they would stop believing me soon because obviously I'd be full of crap, right? So all that to say, Karen's going, well, when we start setting up these systems and process to make people feel loved, we talked about health clubs, right? Having on like a flat membership fee where we pay $200-$400 a month to a health club every month where, you know, whoever is part of our employee can go there. All sorts of gifts we talk about in the Clean Profit Method. Her concern was, what if they only work a little bit? How do we know when they qualify? Here's the thing. First of all, I'm going to make sure everyone has a minimum standard. If someone's like, I just want to work 5 hours a month, that doesn't work for me. That's not a fit. So I wouldn't even hire them. I'm going to look for someone that can work probably 10 to 25 hours per week, every week. And if they're not willing or able to do that, then they're just not a fit. Like, it's fine. They can get a job somewhere else, but they're not a fit here. And part of another thing we talk about in Clean Profit Method is we having enough candidates. So oftentimes when we're like, oh, I this person can only work every third Tuesday, but I took her because I'm desperate. That's because the problem's not with her or what we're paying or any of this stuff. It's because we don't have a good hiring funnel, right? A good hiring funnel is going to have so many more people wanting in than you have room to take. So you can have standards, right? Like a lot of people are like, oh, I have to hire people that don't have driver's license because I need them. Or I have to hire people that whatever. We have to make some sort of compromise with the people. So first of all, I wouldn't compromise. I would only take people that are willing to work 10, 15, 20, 25 hours per week. If they weren't able to do that, they're out. Again, that's fine. I'm not mad at them. They're just not a good fit. And I would give everybody all the benefits right away. Again, I want them to feel loved immediately. I'm not trying to save nickels over like, what if I didn't pay them this benefit until they've been with me a month or until they've done this or until they've done that. I want them to be day one, part of the team. I love it here. This is amazing. These are my people. I never want to leave, right? So even if it costs a little extra, like we talk about giving people business cards with their names on it, you might go, well, they'll quit on day one, or they might not even show up or whatever. Yeah, okay. So you spend $1,000 a year on business cards and you throw away $900 of business cards. As long as that $1,000 makes your people feel loved and special and they hand them out to their friends who might come be your next best employee or they get extra job, who cares, right? So all that to say, don't try and find ways to keep people away from the benefits. Try and find ways to give people benefits, right? And if we charge properly, this is hopefully you're seeing this all works together. If you charge the right amount of money and you have a good hiring process, we can afford to do all this sort of stuff. So it all works together. But the short answer is I would only take employees that I wanted and I would give them all the benefits that every employee gets right off the bat. I know it's a long way around, but did I answer the question?
Yes.
All right. And we still got a couple minutes. So if you got usually I would let guys and gals in the chat ask, but this is your time, sister. How can I help? What other questions can I answer? I'm sure other people have the same question.
So the rising prices, also one of the steps that was really what I took action right away, that you said we might lose few customers, but the first step is to raise the prices. Do we need to give a reason for the customers why we're raising prices?
Nope.
Or no?
See how easy that is? Answer. Nope. Here's a reason. Because I want to. Because I wasn't charging enough. Because that's how it is. Because we've decided this is what it costs to work together. We've raised prices, our prices, over the last 2 years, two or three times. Not on existing customers. Usually we'll grandfather them in. But it is what it is. You can charge whatever you want. Guess what? They can quit. They don't have to give you a reason for quitting. Right? They can just quit. So it's your business. You run it the way you want.
Okay. The legal paperwork, like, you know, how you get the customers and then they sign some kind of contracts. Believe it or not, but well, 16 years and that kind of income, we still don't have a contract yet. We do something right, the money comes in, but we don't have no legal, paperwork for customers, what they're signing up for. Like, where to do that when you don't have a language or when you don't have the capability to put together something like that?
So two things. First of all, I want to encourage you, in our Millionaire Mastermind, God, we got three or four, we got people from all over the world. Same with the Next Level. Some of our more successful clients have thick accents, and it's funny, certainly at the beginning when they're elite, they think that accent's a big deal and we beat that out of them lovingly. It makes no difference, sister. I don't want you to tell not just Karen, any of you guys and gals out there listening, this whole accent thing is ridiculous in terms of it somehow going to inhibit me. Or like Alonzo, one of my favorite human beings, one of our Millionaire Mastermind guys, and just a very smart guy. Spanish is his first language. He's got an accent and he's always like, I can't write. If I email, like, I'll misspell words or I'll say stuff funny. And it's like, who cares? As long as you can bring the value to the people that you've told them you will, that's what they care about. I promise you, they're not going to give two craps about how you spell something. For me, so funny. I don't know if Lindsay's on the call, but we're starting to pay an editor to do our try and improve the sound quality of our podcast. And he was like, "Mike says a lot of ums and ahs, and you know, do you want to take those out?" I'm like, "No, that's who I am. That's how I speak. That is how it is." And I can't imagine there's a single one of you in Clean Nation going, "That's great feedback. That would change my business." But he said or ah a lot of times, so I don't care. I promise, if I had a thick accent, not one of you would give one crap. As long as you could understand me and the value I was bringing would help you get where you wanted to go in life, you don't give two craps about the accent. So I want to encourage you. 99% of the accent problems are right in your head, not the rest of us don't give a crap. It's really your feelings of insecurity or people care. If anything, it's endearing. People are like, it's unique to you, right? I would introduce myself as, "Hey, I'm Karen, the lady with the accent." Now it's a rememberable thing, right? If they talk to three or four different people, you're unique. So that will, I don't think it's going to hold you back at all. Cam in the chat said, "I just started my small business, need help setting prices. I don't want to under overcharge. Any ideas?" We have lots of ideas. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com. We've got over 600 episodes, dozens on pricing. Just can't cover it now. Okay. So that said, I don't tell yourself, "Oh, I don't have a legal document because my English is poor." Bullcrap. That's like, I've got other clients who are like, "Oh, I can't build a funnel because I'm afraid of technology or computers." Bullcrap. We pay people for all that other stuff. I don't write any of our contracts. I have an attorney that writes our contracts. As long as his English is good, doesn't matter if my English is any good, right? I can explain to him what it is I want and he can write it down. That's his job. And I make more money than our attorney. So I don't care if my accent sucks. We don't care if your accent sucks. As long as you're bringing value. So don't worry about that. That said, the proper answer for your question on contracts, do I need them? What should they say? How do I get one? The right answer is talk to an attorney. I am not an attorney in the state that I live in, which is Arizona. I'm definitely, where do you live? What state are you in, by the way?
Virginia.
All right. Shout out to anyone in Virginia. Give us a shout out and let Karen know she's not alone. If you're live with us in Virginia, I'm certainly not a licensed attorney in the state of Virginia. So the right answer is find an attorney. That's that. And let them write it. So that's the official correct answer. Pay an attorney, let them do it. Now I'm going to give you my experience as a business person. This is not legal advice. I'm not a lawyer. This is just my experience as a business person. As a business person, I have found the only time I need a contract is if I'm going to sue somebody or get sued, right? Because that's just the reality of it, right? Typically, we don't find ourselves in that situation in cleaning because one of two things is going to happen. Either they keep paying you or they don't. You keep cleaning or you don't. That's really it. So if you stop cleaning, I can't imagine a universe where they're going to sue you and say, "You must keep cleaning my house." Even if they did and you signed a contract saying, "I will clean with you till I die," it's not a legal contract. No judge is going to force you to work a slave labor. If you don't want to do it, you can just stop. The reverse is, if they want to fire you, you know, especially on the commercial side, people, I've got contracts. I've got 2-year contracts. If they want to fire you, they're going to fire you. Every contract has, if you do a good job, guess who is the ultimate decider if you're doing a good job? They are. At any time, they could go, you did a crap job. You're fired. Get out. What, are you going to sue them and go, no, you've got to make me let you put me. You see what I'm saying? So the only thing that, only reason you need a contract is somehow they didn't pay you, right? A, the way that we teach you to bill is up front, so that never happens, so you don't have to worry about it. B, I don't know that you need a contract, right? If you go to the judge and go, I did the cleaning, you didn't pay me. The judge may say, look at it, I don't know, right? Maybe he will, maybe he won't, who knows? Even if you do have a contract, what's he not going to pay you on the residential side? $200-$300? You know, what are you going to sue something? Like, just, it's not even worth the time. So I've not found a lot of circumstances, unless you're doing a very large commercial contract where you're spending tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars to get specific equipment for a specific account, maybe in that case. But for residential, so I'm not saying you shouldn't have one, right? It's fine, have one. But it's funny, you said what a lot of clients or our clients say, which is, it's embarrassing. I've been in business this long. I don't have a client. Like, somehow you've done something wrong. It's worked for you fine, right? In your years of business, how often have you been like, oh, if only I had a contract, right? So I'm not saying don't get one. Talk to an attorney, get a contract. It's fine. But just don't tell yourself a bunch of lies that you're not a real business, or don't make it a bigger thing than it is. So it's probably a good idea, but don't spending $1,000 or $2,000 or whatever it's going to cost an attorney to get a contract ain't going to make you a nickel more, right? Is it a good idea? Probably. is it where you need, is the owner need to focus on to double your business or bring more value to the world? No. All right. We are a little over on time. Karen, I'm going to let you have the last word. Any word of wisdom that you would like to share with the group? Here's your opportunity.
Well, I would say that keep on reading and keep on listening and stick together. I know that this is important. Like, we, everybody needs people who encourage each other, and sort out the people who drag you down.
That is good. Accent or not, that's good daggum information. No one's going to argue with that, young lady. All right. Karen, thank you so much for being our guest. Clean Nation, hopefully you enjoy, got some value. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for tuning in to today's show. If you're fired up, ready to grow, and want to see if you have what it takes to work with us at Grow My Cleaning Company, here's what I want you to do right now. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. That's growmycleaningcompany.com/talk to book an appointment to speak with me personally. I'm going to jump on the phone with you to get you crystal clear on where you are now, where you want to be, and how to get you there. Don't walk around in the dark any longer. If you are serious about growing your cleaning company, it's time to finally get the systems in place that you need to grow. We've helped hundreds of owners of cleaning companies not only grow their business and their personal freedom, but give back to their community as well. If that's what you're looking for, head over to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk and book a time to talk with me personally. I can't wait to get to know you and your business.